Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is November 25th, and our reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3 and chapter 4. Beginning in verse 8, he says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind." Well, what allows us to be of one mind? When we're all bringing our thinking into submission to the Word of God. Remember, let's be renewed by the transforming of our mind. We've got to allow the Word, the truth, to change the way we think and the way we see and understand and interpret our world, and to drive all of our decisions and behavior and relationships, right? We got to be of one mind by bringing our thinking into submission to the Word of God. Then we got to sympathize with each other. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can be judgmental when we look at the suffering and the struggles of other people and kind of have this, well, if I was in their shoes, this is what I would do. And the truth is, we're not sure what we would do because we've never been in their shoes. But instead of that, let's sympathize with one another. Let's love each other as brothers and sisters. I mean, just imagine if we loved each other in the body of Christ the way we're supposed to love our siblings, right? We need to be tenderhearted. We need to keep a humble attitude. Man, so important. Where does that humility come from? Again, it's recognizing our need for God's grace and being grateful for all that God has done for us. And that produces humility in our hearts. Verse 9, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do, and He will grant you His blessing. So we just have to be careful. Let's not get caught up in fighting. Man, one of the things, especially on social media today, is you see these, you know, these long battles on social media, people going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with each other. No. Let's not engage in that kind of behavior online or in person. Instead, let's love people, even if they attack us, even if they mistreat us, even if they're immature. Let's have enough maturity and security in our relationship with Jesus to respond to them in love. And listen, that's such a challenge for me. I get it. So I want to every day invite Jesus to produce in me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, right? All of those things give me the ability or increase my capacity to love people, even if they mistreat me. Let's skip down to verse 15. He says, if somebody asks you about the hope you have as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do it in a gentle and respectful way. So if people ask you in the midst of our culture, when everything seems to be going crazy and you have peace, or when things in your life are really difficult and yet you seem to be navigating it with grace and a gentle, quiet spirit, trusting God, and people ask you, where do you find that strength? Where do you find that peace? Why do you have so much hope? Be ready to tell them about Jesus and the difference that He's made in your life. And again, remember what we talked about yesterday. We've got to be careful that our hope is not in this world. Because if our hope is in this world or in our financial security or in our relational connections or even in good things like in our marriage, if we put our hope in any of that stuff, if we're not careful, it can be easily shaken, right? But if we put our hope in Jesus, He is trustworthy and it will not be shaken. And when everybody else is freaking out and we have this supernatural peace, man, they want to know what. Where does that hope come from? Why are you so at rest? How are you navigating this so well? And he says, be ready in that moment to tell them about Jesus. And when you do it in a gentle and respectful way, not a preachy way, not a judgmental way, not a harsh way, but with gentleness and with great respect for the person you're talking to. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them your only story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Let's skip down. Verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the Spirit. So God caused Him who knew no sin to become sin. I'm so grateful for all that Jesus did for us. He never sinned, and yet he took our sin. He bore our sin on the cross so that we could be made right with God. And that fills our heart with gratitude. Verse 19, so when he, Jesus, went and preached to the spirits in prison, in hell, those who disobeyed God long ago when God waited patiently while Noah was building the boat, only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So first, I love this, and this is one of those passages that theologians for years have kind of been wrestling with. What does it mean when it says that Jesus preached to the spirits in prison? And some people believe that means that after the death of Christ, that he went into hell and preached the gospel to those who died without Christ. Pretty interesting. And then he says, listen, baptism doesn't wash away our dirt, and it doesn't wash away our sin. Baptism is simply a picture of a spiritual reality. It's a picture of our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. So we're saved by trusting in Jesus and because of what Jesus has already accomplished. And baptism simply a picture of that and a powerful witness to our world. Chapter 4, verse 1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had. And be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You know, most years I travel overseas and I get to train and preach to pastors who are in countries where it's illegal to preach Jesus, illegal for people to be converted, illegal for people to be baptized. And often these men and women are suffering greatly for preaching Jesus. And Peter's saying, when you do that, you're just like Jesus. And he also says that when you're willing to cross that line, when you're willing to even suffer for Jesus, then you're done with sin. And the truth is, when you think about sin in our lives, and most of our sin, one way to kind of think about that is we're more concerned about pleasure and the lust of our flesh than we are pleasing God. And what Peter's trying to say in this passage is if you get to the point spiritually where you're so determined to please God that you're willing to suffer physical suffering for that, then you're done with sin. Sin then has no appeal to you because what you long for is to please God. And you remember what Paul says in Romans 8, when our mind is fixed on the Spirit, when our mind is fixed on pleasing and satisfying the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. I love that. Now, verse 4, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things that they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God who stands by ready to judge everybody, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they are destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. So Peter says, listen, when you decide to follow Christ, your former buddy, your running mates may be shocked at the transformation. In fact, maybe I should say it this way. They should be shocked. They should be surprised at the transformation they see in your life as you follow Jesus. And you're no longer going down that path with them. And man, what a powerful witness that is. And I think God's wants to strengthen all of us and give us a capacity, give us a love for Jesus that overwhelms our love for this world and our need or desire to please people. So let's ask God for that. Thank you, God, for this message today. I'm so grateful again for Peter and such practical instruction. And I pray that you would help all of us to be of one mind, to sympathize with each other, to love each other, to be tenderhearted and humble. God, help us in the church to relate to people in and outside of the church that way as a powerful witness. God, I pray that we'd all be ready to explain the hope we have, that we'd be building relationships, loving, serving people, looking for the opportunity to explain the hope we have in Christ. God, we thank you that you suffered so we never would. And Lord, we've put our faith and trust in your finished work Lord, you suffered so much so that we could go free, and we're so grateful for that. Lord, we want our life to reflect our gratitude. And Lord, we thank you for baptism. It's just a powerful witness and a reminder that our faith is in Jesus, and we've been united with him in his death and resurrection. We've died to that old life. We're no longer running with our buddies. We're no longer running with the world. We're no longer following culture. We've died to that old life, and we've been resurrected to a new life in Christ. So God, help us to live in you. That's what we're trying to do with this podcast. We want to begin our day and live our day in your presence. Help us to do that, God. We need your help. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. I hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.